right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I am just seeing this now, so let me quickly mention it. It's from On3 Sports. So as long as they're not getting duped, then this is an actual quote from Cam Ward. Miami quarterback Cam Ward blasts the college football playoff committee, takes shot at SEC. Quote, I mean, at the end of the day, them boys who in the committee or in that committee, I really doubt they watch tape or not. We're playing better defenses, in my opinion, than the SEC. Close quotes. That is from Cam Ward. I don't know about that, number one. And he said this on the ACC network. So he said, I mean, at the end of the day, them boys who in that committee, I really doubt they watched the tape or not, Ward said on the ACC network on Wednesday. I mean, you can't. I mean, we are a 10-2 team. Not saying Alabama's not a good team, which they are, but let's talk about them points. That's probably the biggest factor, I believe. You know what's ironic to me? He's talking about the defenses they play. If your defense just had a pulse, you would have won against Syracuse when you spotted them a 21-0 lead. Your defense has been horrible. You know, Miami this year reminds me a lot like USC last year, except they're just better in terms of the record. USC's defense last year was horrible. Miami's defense this year is horrible. But this idea, and oh my God, he said, we got a top 25 defense, which is actually one of the best defenses in the country, Ward said. So both sides of the ball were one of the best teams in the country. You talk about an offense who puts up points on the board left and right, whether it's passing, whether it's throwing. We've got two great running backs in the backfield, Damon Mark, so it's hard to leave that out. This Miami defense being great? What is he talking? I don't care what the stats say. What is he talking about? And I like Cam Ward. I talked to Cam Ward when he was at Washington State. He's one of the best stories in college football. But your defense is not this feared defense in the country. You have the quarterback in Cam Ward and the wide receiver in Xavier Restrepo. Those are two phenomenal football players. But Miami is not this great team. And even so, if Alabama gets put in front of Miami, there is nothing that could be said that makes it clear and obvious that Miami is better than Alabama. Because here would be my question to Cam Ward. Cam, do you think the SEC schedule and the ACC schedule are apples to apples? And he would say yes. And I would say, well, Cam, what's your best win of the season? He would say probably Louisville. And I would say, what's Alabama's best win? And it would be Georgia, and it would be South Carolina. So if a team, if you're splitting hairs here, where one team is 10-2 and one team's 9-3, but the SEC is playing tougher competition, and their 9 wins, they have 2 victories that are better than any of the 10 wins that you have, it's not as if Alabama, like if Alabama had 8 wins or 7 wins, and it was a big difference, I'm not sitting here arguing for Alabama. But my whole point on the entirety of this, in a 4-team playoff, there's a chance you could get screwed. In a 12-team playoff, if you're not good enough to make it, and you're not good enough to get selected by the committee, there's nothing that you could tell me is crystal clear why the other team, why you should have been in and the other team should have been out. And that goes for all of, not just Miami bitching today. That goes for South Carolina, and that goes for Ole Miss too. And even if Alabama was left out, I wouldn't want to hear them bitching either. Alabama had a chance to go. Miami had a chance to go. Ole Miss had a chance to go. And all three of those teams in the regular season squandered away their opportunity and left it up to a committee. They didn't make it clear and obvious. So I'm sorry, just because it's low-hanging fruit for a lot of other talk shows to just, you know, say, oh, it's Alabama, it's their brand that they just got in. Why? Tell me why, outside of the fact that it's 10 wins compared to 9, and you examine those wins, why Alabama should have been left out of Miami, should have got in. Tell me what the clear and obvious thing is. And all I'm saying is, whether it's Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, or Miami, whichever team you wanted to put into that 11th spot, I would have been fine with. There's nothing to be irate about. There's no reason why you should be throwing objects around the room today. There is no clear and obvious argument why Miami should be in. And if you're going to tell me, oh, well, they have more wins, well, then why doesn't BYU get in? Why doesn't Army get in? I'm just asking the question. So this idea that Miami got screwed last night is ridiculous. It's just simply ridiculous. The fact is that Alabama plays a tougher schedule than Miami. So if we're talking about the difference between one win when Alabama has better wins, yeah, that's why Alabama should be in. And it's to people that actually pay attention, college football, there's four power conferences right now. There's separation in those four power conferences. Most of us went into this year saying you have the five non-power conference champions or the five conference champions, right? The highest ranked five conference champions. That's five spots. And then for the other seven spots, Notre Dame probably gets in. And then it was probably going to be three SEC teams and three teams from the Big Ten. So why do we have this now be a discussion, Miami and Alabama and South Carolina and Ole Miss? Because everyone stubbed their toe this year outside of Oregon. Everyone stubbed their toe. And the funny part here is the Miami fans will lose their minds this week over not getting put in. And then if Clemson beats SMU, you have no argument. Because then Clemson's getting in because of the format. And then SMU should go in over Alabama. So it's not, oh, Zach, just because you think the SEC is better, then that means you only pick the SEC schools. I'm telling you that if SMU loses the conference championship game, I think they should go over Alabama. I don't think I've ever had a topic in the history of my career in radio that I think has been more pointless than this one and has been this much of a waste of time that we have to listen to people today. Oh, Miami got screwed. No, they didn't. And if Miami would have got in last night, I wouldn't be saying Alabama got screwed. Ole Miss, Alabama, Miami, and South Carolina did not do enough, all four of those teams, to make it clear and obvious that they should have been in. All right? Like, if you would have looked at these rankings and you would have told me, hey, Texas didn't get in, well, no, that would have been a screw job. If you told me Penn State wouldn't have got in, that would have been a screw job. Notre Dame, that would have been a screw job. Georgia, with the way that it shaked out, that would have been a screw job. Now, if Georgia lost to Georgia Tech, Georgia wouldn't have a leg to stand on unless they won the SEC championship game. Ohio State deserves to get in. Tennessee deserves to get in. Indiana deserves to get in. There are certain schools that you knew that were deserving of getting in. And I sat here yesterday on the show, and I told you, in the correct order, who the 12 teams were going to be. And I nailed them right on the bracket. Because it wasn't tough to kind of just figure this thing out. But if you would have said, hey, Zach, Miami was 11 over Alabama, or Ole Miss was 11 over Alabama, or South Carolina was 11 over, I would not have had a gripe with it. But Alabama, yes, they lost to Oklahoma. Yes, Alabama lost, you know, to Vanderbilt. Ole Miss lost in the swamp. Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. South Carolina struggled early in the season. Heck, if they didn't blow that game to LSU, but they should have won. It was bad officiating. We're not even talking about this because South Carolina, we got in. And the same applies for Miami. You could have lost to Georgia Tech, you did, and you still controlled your own destiny. But then you lost to Syracuse after you were up 21-0. 21-0. When you had that loss, you don't deserve to go. So I don't understand why we're sitting here and why I heard it all throughout the day on the network, all throughout every other show, heard it from Booger McFarland last night, that someone got screwed here. No one got screwed here. Do I need to say it any louder? No one got screwed here. That's the point. Now, you may think one team should go over the other team and another team, but it doesn't mean that that team got screwed. What I'm saying is there's four teams. There was one spot. You're going to have three teams who fan bases are going to think they got screwed. It doesn't mean they got screwed. It doesn't. And South Carolina may be the best out of those four teams where they're playing right now, but they lost to Georgia and Alabama. I mean, Alabama and Ole Miss. So, like, come on. You could contradict it every way you want. And the one thing the Miami fan has that they could stand, oh, we got 10 wins. Well, 10 wins in the ACC compared to 9 in the SEC, when the SEC and the Big Ten are the two best conferences and Alabama has a higher strength to schedule, doesn't mean that you had a rite of passage to get in. You had a rite of passage if you would have won up against Syracuse when you were up 21-0. You blew it. So stop. This is the dumbest topic I've ever had to talk about in the history of my radio career. The dumbest and the most pointless one. No one got screwed. That's the word, screwed. And that's what I've heard from 7 p.m. all through the night, all through the morning, all through the afternoon, and all through the early evening now on the East Coast. Miami got screwed. Miami got screwed. No, they didn't get screwed. You have to make a decision on a committee that the standard and the criteria is ambiguous. And this idea that we thought Miami should get in over Alabama, why? Oh, well, they have one more win. Well, so if then Army beats Navy next week, even though I know the rankings come out on Sunday, they would have more wins than Miami, and they have they would only have one loss. Why doesn't then Army get in? If it's, oh, the conference that you play in doesn't matter. Stop. Okay? Just absolutely stop. This is just crazy to me. Let's go to Adrian in Maryland next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Adrian, what's happening?
What's up, Big Zach? Hey, I hear you. I hear what you're saying on it. Problem I have is, how did the committee pick Alabama out of these four teams? I understand, I guess it's the recentness of Miami losing to Syracuse, but Alabama, it was only 2 weeks ago that they really got blown out.
Yeah, horrible loss.
Right, and I have a problem with Alabama going on the road and beating good teams, which they haven't done yet this year. And I think if they do get in the playoffs, I actually think Notre Dame is going to beat them pretty handily on the road.
Well, yeah, if that's the matchup, then we'll have to wait and see. I know that was the way that it was projected last night, 6-11 Notre Dame, Alabama. Why Alabama got in over South Carolina, I could answer that one for you. And it's because Alabama beat South Carolina. That would be what I would say. Alabama got in over Miami, to me, I would answer because Alabama, their two best wins were South Carolina and Georgia. That's better than any win Miami has on their schedule. Miami's best win was obviously Louisville. Why Alabama got in?
Let me interrupt you.
Yeah, just real quickly.
Let me interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
You saying the best wins. I understand the best wins. Okay. What about the bad loss? You see what I'm saying? Alabama has basically two bad losses.
They have two bad losses.
Vanderbilt was on the up and come, yes, but they were getting blown out in that game, and they got blown out in Oklahoma. What's the name? Miami went to Syracuse. They lost in a dogfight, which they were up 21-0.
They blew the game. That's why it's a bad loss. Syracuse is a good team. They're solid. McCord is the most passing yards, but you can't blow a 21-0 lead. You can't.
Right. I understand that. But they also played Georgia Tech, which took
solid team
to the brink. So I don't think those losses compared to Alabama losses are the same.
No, that's fair. And then I could also say, well, Alabama lost to Tennessee. If Miami played Tennessee, with the tougher schedule, was Miami going to beat Tennessee this year? Because that's the third loss. That's one of the three losses for Alabama.
And Zach, that's the problem I have, because now these bowl games, these other bowl games, mean absolutely zero. They mean nothing, because we could have got maybe a Miami versus, I don't know, Ole Miss or something like that, where all the players play, and then we can see, who's the better team.
Yeah, but now you get 12 teams in. Let's be real. Even some of the New Year's Six games last year really didn't mean anything. and it was just the four teams were really the only teams that I was concerned about that made the playoff. Now that you got 12 teams in, if you're going to say, oh, the other bowl games, like, they didn't matter in the four-team format, so at least you get more teams in the playoff now, and you could say that those games do matter. The thing I will say, why Alabama got in over Ole Miss, that's the tricky one. Because, right, you know, their losses are to LSU and to Florida and to Kentucky. And, hey, Tennessee, you had Oklahoma, and then you had the other loss for Alabama.
Vanderbilt.
Thank you. Yeah, after they beat Georgia, yep, they had the bye week in between. So it's like, right, that's the one that I get stumped on, where it's Alabama and Ole Miss. Why the committee did that I do not know.
One thing I will, I'm agree with you 100%. If the committee knocks SMU out of this whole thing, it will be a tragedy, because they maybe fall to 9 or 10 or 11. They shouldn't fall out of it. That's just enough. And what happens?
Well, then Adrian, you're right on that. Then that would be a screw job. Miami not getting in over, right, Alabama isn't a screw job. SMU with one loss in the regular season, getting left out because they lose a conference championship game to Clemson when all those other teams didn't have to play, then you're 100% right. That would be a screw job.
And one thing I told EJ this morning, I said, all the Miami fans, I guarantee you, are rooting for Clemson just so Alabama could get knocked out of there. And everybody that hates the SEC is rooting for Clemson.
Well, you know what I would say, Adrian? Tell those Miami fans to actually show up to their games, all right? Because that stadium is too empty too many times that I'm watching Miami, if we're just being real. All right, Adrian, appreciate the phone call. Sorry to cut you off there. I didn't mean to do that. Let's go to Will in Myrtle Beach next up. Will, go ahead.
Hey, buddy. Big fan of the show. I just want to talk about South Carolina. Week 3, I think it was, LSU, we got screwed big
by the
time.
Officials. No question. You got screwed by the officials. It negated that pick 6 twice. I think twice in that game.
Twice. And Mawuru, yes, that's our best player on defense besides maybe Stewart. But I don't know, man. I think it was bad. But, I mean, you're right about Ole Miss. We definitely deserved that loss. Bad loss. Alabama, close game, but they beat us. So it is what it is. I just think if we got that win, we probably would have been in.
And you know what? South Carolina, out of those four teams, is probably the team I'm most curious to see more out of. Now, it doesn't mean they deserve to go, and it's a game of inches, right, when you look back at that LSU game and you feel like you got screwed by the officials. But what Shane Beamer has done with South Carolina this year, the fact that we could even talk about them as a potential team that should have been a college football playoff team was very impressive, because people had him fired before the year started.
100%. We've been waiting for this for a long time, brother.
Yeah, well, we'll see if it can continue. That's what I hope, because he's had some moments at South Carolina, and then it drops off a little bit. I'm a big fan of Shane Beamer. I love what Lenore Sellers is doing this year. He's so fun to watch the way that he runs the football, and I love, absolutely love, that South Carolina beat Dabo Sweeney. Oh, I love it. I love it. And let me tell you, I'm becoming a huge SMU fan this week. My former American Athletic Conference quick brethren, you know, me being a Temple Owl. Congratulations to Coach Casey Keeler, the new head football coach at Temple. But geez, I would love to see SMU beat Clemson. Already the arrogance of Dabo. Oh, you're going to be very unhappy if we get in. Oh, no one thought we were going to get here. Ugh. Yeah, I'm not going to say he's the most insufferable dude in college football, because that would still be crying day. You know, James Franklin's right there, but Dabo's there. I think the three coaches that I think you most want to punch in the face in college football. Where do you put Brian Kelly in there too? Nah, I would still say three in this order. Ryan Day, James Franklin, and then Dabo Sweeney. You know, at least Dabo has some championships. But man, Brian Kelly's up there too with his family. The LSU family with the Tigers. All righty. We'll take a timeout. Maybe I'll get a text from Brian Kelly for imitating his voice. All righty. When we return, what am I supposed to talk about this segment? Oh, I'm supposed to talk about Aaron Rodgers' odds for his next teams. All right. We'll get to that when we come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show. All righty. Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Ayahuasca Aaron, Do you want to return to the Jets next year?
Yeah, I mean, I just redid my house here in Jersey, so my goal was to play a few more years here, but we'll see. Yeah, I'd like to be healthy. I'd like to end on my feet, and then I'd like to play well, and I'd like to feel like I'm wanted back. If not, you know, that's, again, I will not be offended. I won't be upset. I'll be so thankful either way, whatever happens here. But, you know, I got to be healthy mentally, physically, and then there's got to be interest on both sides. And if that's not the case, then I'll look at other options. But first, I'll think about whether I actually want to play or not.
Huh? Play that again? Play that one more time for me, Stu. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just redid my house here in Jersey, so my goal was to play a few more years here. But we'll see. Yeah, I'd like to be healthy. I'd like to end on my feet. And then I'd like to play well, and I'd like to feel like I'm wanted back. If not, you know, that's, again, I will not be offended. I won't be upset. I'll be so thankful either way, whatever happens here. But, you know, I got to be healthy mentally, physically, and then there's got to be interest on both sides. And if that's not the case, then I'll look at other options. But first, I'll think about whether I actually want to play or not.
He's gone. He's either going to retire or he's going to another team. And have you ever heard more BS, Stu, than him saying he won't be offended if the Jets want to move on from him? Like, come on. I don't have any reason to really hate Aaron Rodgers. I don't. And I don't hate him. You know, this whatever Netflix thing that's coming out that I saw the images last, it's weird. Okay? It is weird. Aaron Rodgers is a weird dude. Doesn't mean I hate him. It doesn't mean I can't stand him. But he's also disingenuous. And the idea that Aaron Rodgers is claiming he won't be annoyed if the Jets elect to move on from him, come on. This is the same dude that talks about eliminating distractions and how they have to eliminate the leak from the Jets facility, and all he does is provide distractions. So I did hear there in that clip, though, that he just redid his house to. The Giants are plus 400. So he could leave the Jets. Aaron Rodgers' next team's odds if it's not the Jets, according to covers. Giants are at plus 400. Giants need a quarterback. They do. I'm assuming they're going to get a quarterback in the draft, but can you get Aaron Rodgers staying in the sponsored jersey and going to the New York Football Giants for a year to end his career? Wouldn't that be something? That'd be fun. Wouldn't it be? You have any interest in seeing that?
Sure. Yeah. I like it more than a few other of the other options, I would say.
Oh, we'll get to that in just a second. Is there a team that stands out to you here for Aaron Rodgers to go to? Like, that's the thing. If it's not the Jets, who's the team that's clamoring to go bring in 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers at this stage of his career? That he would want to go there and the team would want to have him. There's not one. I'll run through all the odds right now. You want me to do it from, let's say if we do the top 10, you want to hear 1 through 10 or 10 through 1?
You go 10 to 1.
Okay, good. Now we're on the same page here. I want to save number 1 just for you. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I want to give you a large sample size here. The Cowboys at plus 1,400. They just paid Dak. That's not happening. The Bears at plus 1,200. They have Caleb Williams. The Saints at plus 1,000. Could you move on from Derek Carr and bring in Aaron Rodgers? Sure. But why? Why would Aaron want to go to New Orleans when they don't have a team that's close to competing? The Colts at plus 1,000. Oh, Anthony Richardson probably going to be the starter next year. Here's an interesting one. You have any interest? 49ers at plus 1,000. One big run. Brock, you watch Aaron Rodgers, and then you'll be our guy after 1 year. 1 year of waiting. They tried to do that with Brady a few years ago, but they couldn't get Brady to go to San Francisco.
San Francisco would be interesting because at least, like, you, the def, I don't know. I mean, probably more interesting than a lot of the elements you mentioned. It's at least somewhat intriguing.
But, like, Brock Purdy has been in a Super Bowl more recently than Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't mean that Brock Purdy's a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers had good teams and they can't get the job done. At this stage of his career, I'd rather have the unknown of what the ceiling is for Brock Purdy than going all in 1 year with Aaron Rodgers. Cleveland at plus 700. They could use a quarterback. They could. But Aaron's going to want to get paid, and you're paying all this money to Deshaun Watson, whether you like it or not, so that's not going to happen. The Titans. All right, that's one. because of Will Levis. But what are you winning at Tennessee? Nothing. Giants plus 400. They could use a quarterback, but I think they're going to draft one. The Steelers plus 400. Why would the Steelers move on from Russell Wilson right now? And then you have the Raiders at plus 300. And that's a team that he could go to. But does Davante Adams say, hey, can I come back to the Raiders? How does that go down? Can we do an oopsie there and get traded back? Like, what the heck? All right. And the Raiders' first priority is going to be to get a quarterback in the draft. So maybe they win a game or two that they're not supposed to win. Then they put themselves out of that position to do so for Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. It's either retire or play for the Jets next year. That's what I think the options are. And then the Jets are going to have you back. And right now, I think Aaron should just retire. But what's the point of doing this? The only reason why you should still be playing is to win another Super Bowl. Any of those teams that I just mentioned, San Francisco, you can win a Super Bowl. The Steelers aren't going to move on from you. And San Francisco's not going to move on. Like, none of those teams... there's not a team out there that you go, okay, they're going to want him and he can go win a Super Bowl for. There's not a team there. So what are we doing here? Now, could Aaron maybe get released, wait for an injury, then come on back? Yeah, if you want. But I think once you retire, you should just walk away. Like, I'll even say it with Brady. I don't like that Brady retired and then came back. Like, come on. I know he's trying to save his marriage. I think he just gave Giselle what she wanted for a brief moment and then said, Giselle, I'm going back. You're going to go end up marrying that jiu-jitsu instructor probably anyway, or having a kid with him. So, come on. It's either retire or you stay on the Jets. And I think the Jets should want to move on, rip that Band-Aid off, and I think Aaron Rodgers should want to go to retirement. And you can still enjoy the house in New Jersey. I don't know how many people want to retire and go to and stay in New Jersey. A lot of times you retire and you go somewhere else. Like, Ack, when you retire, are you going to stay in the New York, New Jersey area?
Haven't made that decision yet, but I would say doubtful.
I could see you in Florida.
I'm ready for Florida or Arizona right now.
Oh, Arizona.
Yeah, you know, maybe San Diego, maybe Austin, who knows?
I could see Akin in a very palatial estate in San Diego.
Are you buying?
No. That's why you worked for all these years. You got the funds.
Not really. Not yet.
What was it? You said Austin?
Austin. Everybody likes Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, Ack with the cowboy hat?
No state tax there.
Would you let us, hook 'em. Would you let us come to your house to do a remote? In Austin?
I don't know. Undecided, maybe.
Fine, but not 50. In your house. How about on the lawn?
No, I don't know. 50-50.
I feel like you're a guy, Ack, when you retire, we're never going to hear from you again.
Yeah.
I think you will not talk to a single... Maybe you wish a few people happy birthday.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't think we'll hear from you again.
Ted Williams, keep going.
Yeah. What, you're going to freeze your body too?
Home run. Hey, if that brings me back, then I'm doing it.
Will you ever... Would you ever do like a part, when you retire, would you ever do a part-time update? They call you during the holidays, you want to do some updates.
No, definitely not.
Not, you'd be out.
With all due respect, that's like old timers day.
Yeah.
You're out. See ya.
You know what we should do? Well, it was called CBS Sports Radio, but people will get the point. We should do a network old timers day. Bring back like all the names from the past.
Do we have like the MC and, you know, he started in the nighttime role from 6 to 10.
I think you'd have Chris Moore. He would MC it. Chris Moore would MC it.
You know, welcome back, Chris Moore. Then that little organ, you know.
Wake your ass up, Brian Jones, you knuckleheads. Bring back Brian Jones. Hey, it's Pharrell on the bench. Shake it up.
I don't know if we could field a team. I mean, we may have to do a starting five, but, you know.
Oh, we could fill about four rosters. You know how many network changes there have been since the inception?
So, BT
John Feinstein would get back in?
John Feinstein, Taz and the Moose.
I think Taz would politely decline.
probably so.
Gottlieb?
Gottlieb.
D.A.?
D.A. And the only other, well, Pharrell.
Scotty.
Yeah, and that's been much more. Have I missing somebody?
Shep probably be offended if he didn't get brought back.
Who's a Shep?
Yeah.
Well, Shep's still here.
Oh, he's still here. You're right.
Arguing Pierno.
Better be careful. You get a lot of texts if you ever bring that up on the
exactly.
air.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think. Who else did we miss? Gio?
Yeah, I guess so.
Even though he's still in the company, but network?
Yeah. Dana Jacobson.
Yeah.
She wants nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah. Let's get BT and Dana Jacobs in the same room. A lot of stories there. Oh, and hold on. It was quick. Very quick. But
oh,
there
Pat
was
McAfee.
There was a photo. I was on a press release. DA moves to mornings. Mm-hmm. McAfee in middays.
That's right.
Gelb does evenings, and it was the three of us.
I think it lasted 10 months.
I don't even think McAfee was here for 10 months.
It was very quick. Yeah, forgot about him. It's easy to forget, and I don't mean that as a slight, but it was such a quick amount of time.
Well, his problem was he just cursed too much. We ran out of dumps, so he went to Sirius. That was the problem. I met McAfee at the Super Bowl. Could not have been a nicer guy.
Yeah,
was
know.
Very interested in my career. We talked for 30 minutes. Really good dude. But let's be real.
He ripped the sleeves off your shirt?
No. He didn't want to see my guns. But he was one of those guys that he just had the curse. And okay. It would have been great if we could say curse all you want. But that's not the way that it goes. So,
yeah, no.
And I don't want anyone to get offended. We apologize if you were at the network and we didn't mention you.
Yeah,
we're doing this in the moment.
I'm having a hard time thinking of anybody that we might have missed, though.
Bob Huesler, do some updates?
I guess, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Paul Nanos?
Jay Berman.
Oh, Jay Berman.
Jay Berm. So
I'll say Mike Bisseglia because he'll cry if I don't mention him.
Yeah, okay, it works. So, and of course, the guy who hired us all, Eric Spitz.
Oh, yeah, Spitzy. That's right. Yeah. And we're back turning
to bring him
too.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe there is a lot to there is a lot to unwrap there. I take that back. So.
Maybe we should do worst host. We do superlatives. Worst host, best host, worst update anchor, best update anchor, best moment, worst moment, you know, things like that. A lot of fun.
The best moment that
I thought you were going to go worse, Zach.
The best moment that I've had at the network was not live. When I did Ion College Football, Brian and I used to tape a segment every Saturday morning because he had to go on set.
Was this when this aired on a different station?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we start, you know, I just would just like to get the levels checked and things like that. You know, I talked to Brian for half a second, whatever. And, you know, and it happened usually with the same way that Brian and I would always, you know, what are you bothering me for? Whatever, you know, we just go, you know, I got to go to a meeting soon.
Act, you get that swine from Westville?
Yeah. And while we were doing this, the alternate studio of WFAN, we were doing it in there, the on-air studio in WFAN, the control room, didn't, for some reason, had the pot up on that mic. So you always say, be careful what you say into a microphone. You never know when it's on.
Yeah.
And these were on, and it interrupted Chris Lopresti's update.
And Brian Jones was not Tom Brenneman. He was not cursing. The one rare time he wasn't cursing.
Yes. And I'm glad I didn't say anything because, we were just, you know,
Ack, I love you, but what are you saying that's so offensive?
No, but you know what? You never know in that moment that you might say something that you're just joking around.
Like what a bleeping bleep
you know,
somebody
well,
is.
Well, I did say at one point to Brian, because, you know, I guess he had to go to a meeting or whatever. I said, I said something to the extent, the meeting can wait. Who's the producer? Who do I got? And he goes, Vin DeVito. And I was like, I think he's a good guy, you know. But I could have just said, the heck with Vin DeVito. What does he know? You run that show.
Giant
you know,
quarterback?
Something. Yes. You know, so I could have said something along those lines. That could have been misinterpreted. But
the odds would have been like plus 4,500 for you to curse. Brian Jones would have been at minus infinity.
You never freaking know.
Yeah. All right. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. One of my favorite stories ever, Jay Berman. I was doing weekend overnights, World Series, Dodgers, Red Sox. It was that like 16-inning affair.
Poor guy.
The ball goes, because then they used to, little breaking news, they would tape the overnight updates from 3 to 5 until on the weekends until the 6 a.m. update anchor got in. So Jay said to stay here after the time you needed to be staying here. And Muncy, you ended up hitting the walk-off home run. He sees the ball go to right field. He goes, hold on, we may have an ending in this game. Muncy deep to right. Oh, it's foul. And he said, too bad. I was really looking forward to going home.
Well, there was also a time, we used to have live overnights, and then ultimately we went taped. But when we stopped doing live overnights, if something happened to the nighttime anchor, you had to stay.
Mm.
And there were a couple of times when either A, somebody forgot a shift, or B, suddenly, you know, called out at the last minute. I wound up staying pretty late.
I'm not going to say who, but when free agency and like the NBA used to start at 2 a.m, some guy left a little early that night.
Uh-oh.
And I think it was when Kawhi wound up on the Clippers, Stu, right? You know what I'm talking about.
It was like a Kawhi Paul George.
Were you working?
No. I was up late listening.
And I was doing the weekend overnight. Or I was, maybe I was filling in for Amy, who knows. And I kept on saying, we're going to go to an update. Let me just reiterate, the biggest news of the night is whoever, it was Paul George, right, and Kawhi?
I think it was like a combo.
Yeah, I was like, went to the Lakers to save the update person because the first story was, well, in baseball last night. So that's that. All righty, we'll come on back in the news brief update time. Here is the Acme. Alrighty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Cole in Philly says, Zach, are you a Flyers fan? I see there's a gritty behind you. Now, you could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts are all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm wearing a Ranger sweatshirt today. Now, it's not a typical Ranger sweatshirt. It's from a company. And when I got this question, I'm like, there's a gritty behind me. What? How long has this thing been here? The gritty mascot. I know it's probably Perloff's. Surprised it doesn't smell, honestly. Not that Perloff smells, but I feel like Perloff would have this in like a box that's been I guess it's gritty. It's not that old. I would say a basement for a few years. But when did he bring, have you guys noticed this thing behind my shoulder?
I think I noticed it Monday, so I think it's relatively new.
I think we have to do some studio rearrangements. Like, this could probably go in the trash. And also, you know what I want to get rid of? I want to get rid of, is there a wiffle ball bat there behind you? Manny Rodriguez. He used to do this when he was working with me for a few weekends on Sunday morning football. He would sit there with the wiffle ball bat in his hands. And he would like swing it while I'm talking, which is so distracting. And I almost, because I tuned into Maggie and Pearl the other day and I saw him with the wiffle ball bat in his hands, I want to get rid of the wiffle ball bat. It is very, very, very obnoxious, that wiffle ball bat. So maybe we get rid of the wiffle ball. They used to have that Wentz poster that we destroyed. I think it's time to destroy the gritty, and it's time to destroy that wiffle ball bat, Stu. There's no wiffle ball bat behind there, Stu?
I don't see it, but I know what you're talking about, and I feel like Manny has it hidden somewhere, if I was guessing.
He probably takes it with him anyway. It's like a chew toy for him, that wiffle ball bat. I may or may not have texted him, you got to stop with the wiffle ball bat. If I see that wiffle ball bat again, I'm going to break it. So maybe that's why it's on the studio. Maybe he thought I was being serious. I wasn't. Would you rather have someone yawn during your show, or would you rather have someone with a wiffle ball bat during your show?
I feel like the yawning's more distracting.
You know who I think would have to get brought back if we did an old-timers day here? Jack Stern. Now, I know it was short, but he made an impact. I have never seen someone get under the skin here at the network more than Jack Stern. For a guy that wasn't on the air, he just got under the skin of so many people. I think Jack Stern would have to be brought back for Old Timers Day. How great would that be? And we could have him do the yawn when he was producing Amy's show, and he yawned, and Amy was not happy that he yawned. I think that was on the air, too, if memory serves me right. So, would you want to see, whatever happened to Jack? I think I'm going to be the only person in the history of this network to say it. I kind of miss Jack Stern. Should we bring Jack Stern on for
no
Football Friday picks? Why not? you wouldn't want to hear a little Jack Stern on a Football Friday?
I think I'm good.
Okay. You weren't a fan of Jack? You weren't? You know who it was, the person that couldn't stand the most? You'll never guess it.
Hickey?
You guessed it. I've never seen Hickey turn red and be mean to someone. But there was one day that Jack walked in and he's like, hey, how you doing? And just like went to go dap up Hickey, and Hickey wanted no part of it. That's how you know you really ruffled some feathers around here. Hickey, who likes, there's a few people Hickey doesn't like. But Hickey likes a lot of people. And I think Hickey is like the perfect judge of character. If Hickey doesn't like you, it's not that Hickey's in the wrong. It's that you're in the wrong. All righty, we'll end the show on this poll question today. So much for getting to a news brief. There was a few things I teased today that I just didn't get to. And I really wanted to get to the news brief today, but whatever. It's fine. Should a 9-3 SEC Alabama be ranked in front of 10-2 ACC Miami? 57% ended up saying no. And once again, I just don't understand this one. I get 10 is more than 9, but when you look at the quality of the wins, and I know Alabama's had some bad losses, but when you look at the quality of wins that Alabama's had, Georgia, and then also Alabama, when you look at what they were able to do this year, it's just like South Carolina, those are better than any win that Miami has. Miami's best win is Louisville. So yes, I had no problem with Alabama getting in last night. If they would have put Ole Miss in, I would have had no problem with that as well. If they would have put Miami in, I would have had no problem. South Carolina in, I would have had no problem. But all four of those teams didn't do enough to clearly make the case and plant the flag in the ground. Don't start a fight when I say that, to say that they definitely belonged in the college football playoff. And there's still a chance Alabama could be left out. If Clemson takes care of SMU, SMU should still go. All righty, that will do it on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Xavier Watts joined us earlier. We appreciate him from the Notre Dame football team. Ryan Hotsikicki joined us in studio as well. Samter, thank you. Stu, thank you. Samter is now mocking Manny Rodriguez, swinging a baseball bat, trying to distract me. Samter looks like he also robbed the bank today with the ski cap that he's wearing that is now over his eyes. We'll talk tomorrow, though, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Have a great night. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.